Well, I want to share with you some good things about worship and the glory of God this morning. So let's just kind of relax and listen to what God may speak to you this morning. We need to gain insight on what God is doing. Every time that He increases, well, we need to recognize it and then begin to receive it and allow it to work here in the church. And I don't believe that praise and worship is a big issue in this church, but there's still going to be some that maybe haven't received the revelation of what God is going to do through praise and worship, mainly the releasing of His glory. So, you know, some of us may think, well, you know, singing songs, that's what worship is, and y'all sing too many in this church. Well, that's not right. I don't think we have time to sing enough to our Father. And it's all in the ability to learn how to love Him more than anything. It's like you know, when you were young, you did strange things when you were dating. And you know what I mean? You know, you just were always wanting to give a gift or do something for the one you love. And it's supposed to be the older you get, the more love you have. And that's the way it is with God. The more we're in relationship with Him, the greater our love becomes. But anyway, some people may think that they don't have to praise because it feels uncomfortable to them. And others don't like, you know, the part about lifting of the hands or shouting and especially dancing, you know. I grew up in a denomination where dancing was forbidden, period, whether it was in church or even as, you know, in the world. But when you come and you find out what God's heart desires, then all of this stuff doesn't make any difference. Whatever we can do to express our love to our Father is appropriate. But we have to know when to do the stuff right and not, you know, not spoil it for somebody else. So anyway, we know that when God's presence comes, that there's also people that feel uncomfortable in praise and worship. And there's, you know, there's a multitude of reasons that we could list here this morning, but that's not what I'm trying to do. I want us to understand what Jesus, how He looks at things, not just praise and worship, but how He looks at everything. So let's look at Luke chapter 21 and read a couple of verses here. We'll discover what He's thinking about all of this. Luke chapter 21, beginning in verse 7. And the disciples asked Jesus, saying, "Master, when shall all these things come to pass?" Now they're talking about kind of like the end times. You know, what's going to happen? They said, "What one sign will there be when these things come to pass?" And in verse 8, it says, Jesus answered, "Take heed that you're not deceived. Take heed that you're not deceived." Now, the disciples were asking about one thing, and I believe that Jesus was giving them wisdom about everything, not just the end times, but everything. And so what is the one sign that we can see and know that we're not lining up with heaven? And it's important that we understand this, because my heart in this church is to be in line with God. Everything that God wants for our church, I want us to be involved in it, whether it's praise and worship or you know, just being who we are every day. And so it's important that we understand this. And so what happens to us is, if we're not careful, we fall into what Jesus is talking about, and He's talking about deception. You and I can become deceived even in praise and worship. I try to preach on praise and worship periodically, just to kind of keep us on line and keep us in, you know, in the right place before God. Because, you know, God loves our worship. God loves our praise. But the two are not the same. And so we have to learn how to use each one of them in His presence and then in the body of Christ. So, are we being deceived about praise and worship? Well, in this church, I don't think we are. Other churches, I'm not here to judge. But in this church, we're not. So let's look at Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19, beginning in verse 5. The Apostle John is having the revelation here. And in verse 5 says, "And a voice came out of the throne saying, 'Praise our God, all of you His servants, and you that fear Him, both small and great.' And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, 'Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns.'" Should have had a bunch of amens. That's part of our praising God, declaring He reigns. Our God reigns. He reigns in our lives every day. You may not recognize what He's doing, but He's there doing in your life every day. And He's never late, and He knows exactly what He's doing. So listen, what God is doing is bringing His kingdom here on this earth. And His kingdom is coming through praise and worship. I've preached all, you know, my whole career in the ministry. I've preached about praise and worship. But until we started praising and worship, we didn't have the kingdom of God. We didn't have the fullness of God, the presence of God. But when we finally put to practice what we had been learning, suddenly God shows up. And He's been faithful to show up ever since. Ever since we learned how to praise Him and how to worship Him. And so part of this, the reason why this is happening is because the church has been praying what the Scripture says, what Jesus told us to pray. And they've been praying this for hundreds of years. And the verse is, "Thy kingdom come, and Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." It has been prayed, it's being prayed, and now God is in the process of releasing His glory, which is all about His kingdom. So, God is a very precise God. I mean, He does everything according to a certain way. And it's not up to us to take His way and bend it or twist it to do something that we want or that we like. It's important that we do it the way He teaches us to do it. And we're taught by the Spirit of God. Amen? Are you understanding this so far? Yeah, okay. So, I want to tell you today that Christians and churches are deceived about a lot of things, because we try to figure things out. That's our humanity, and that's our human ability to, you know, look at something, a situation, and try to figure it out. But when our little minds cannot wrap our minds around God, we can't fully understand God, and yet we try. And we try to do things, and we end up doing things wrong, and then we wonder, well, where's God? You know, why isn't He here doing what He's supposed to do? Well, if you'll be still and listen, and I do mean be still and listen, because if you're doing anything else, you're not going to hear God. But if you'll be still and listen, God will show you exactly what he wants you to do, how he wants you to act and react to his presence. So it's time for us to recognize the problem, yes, but it's time for us to make a decision that we are going to separate the spirit from the flesh. When Jesus came into your life, you were no longer supposed to remain of the flesh. You were supposed to walk in the Spirit. And that's the problem right there. That's where we've been deceived. We think we can do everything in the flesh and that it's going to be okay, but we've been deceived. We have to get back over into the Spirit where God is, and be led by the Spirit of God, and learn by the Spirit the ways of God. You understand that? So we have to determine what parts of our life are still in the flesh, and then change it. Bring it before God if you can't do it on your own. Tell God, I need help. I've tried before, and I can't succeed in getting crossed over into the realm of the Spirit. But God is there to help you every step of the way. You just have to make up your mind that you're going to do what God says. It all boils down to obedience. And many people don't want to obey God. But the verse that we just looked at says that the people that God calls to praise him are those that fear him. Fear him. And there are no boundaries in the kingdom of God as far as God is concerned. And this passage says that all of us must praise him, both great and small. We're to fear him, but the second thing, we're all supposed to praise him. There's no categories of who can praise and who can't praise, or who should praise and who shouldn't praise. We're all called to praise God by under the leadership of the Spirit of God. And so this is one realm where we are equal as in the body of Christ. Now, then in response to God's call, John describes what he hears as a result of this group that he's listening to. They fear God. And they are mixed up of many people, but the key is that they're all in unity. He said that John describes what he heard as the voice of a great multitude. You see, God loves to hear us praise and worship him individually, okay? And that's what you do when you're at home or driving or, you know, might be a little difficult at work sometimes, but you know, any off time when it's just you and him, but God loves the praise and the worship of the multitude. That means the whole church. Us coming together and praising God with everything that is within us. Not to just make noise, but to make a joyful noise in the ears of the Father. You understand that? Okay, so the greatest instrument of praise that God has given us is our voice. Our voice. Oh, we have a fantastic group up here, and I thank God for them. But it's you, it's your voice that God is looking for. I mean, yes, the cymbal, the stringed instruments, the drums, all of these things are important to God. But the most important is him hearing you in his ear, okay? So learn how to lift up your voice to God, not to be offensive, but to make sure that God, in other words, that God is hearing you in relation with the whole group, in other words. I don't want to outdo somebody else. You know, we need to do it together. But don't accept a weak, wimpy voice. You know, and I know that, you know, we're all not great singers. And so when everybody's praising God with everything they've got, we're over here kind of, oh, yeah, praise God. Yeah. But anything that you use to praise or worship God is pleasing to God. It doesn't make any difference what you think about your voice or anybody else thinks about your voice. God loves it. Amen. And He wants to hear it. So think about that when you're even in the multitude of people. Think about that. Just give it all you got and just touch the heart of God with your voice. Release the power in your voice and then join with others that are doing the same thing. Okay, unity is so important in worship, especially unity. Now, God gives us some direction in all of this. He tells us to praise Him with the voice of thanksgiving. In Psalm chapter 26, verse 7, it says, with the voice of triumph. I'm sorry, got it backwards. The thanksgiving is in Psalm 26, verse 7. With the voice of triumph is in Psalm 47, verse 1. And think about that. You know, you are victorious in Christ Jesus. And so God doesn't want you praising like a wimpy weenie that you're defeated all the time. He wants you to praise like you are victorious. You're standing on top of things. Amen? And so that's declaring our heart attitude, not just reading the words off the overhead up here and trying to put a little music with them. It's letting God feel what you feel in the spirit. You know, I am an overcomer. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so we demonstrate that in our praise and in our worship. Okay? All right. By the way, that's why the enemy doesn't like you praising and worshiping. He don't want you getting strong. He don't want you, you know, to get brave and step out and do things. He liked you just the way you were, you know, just kind of weeping all the time and scared and everything else. But no, we're not that way. We have Christ living in us. Amen. So we're more than conquerors. All right. And remember, praise is not the end. It's the beginning. Anything that you do in relation to God and the kingdom, praise will carry you further than you've ever been before. So it's a beginning. Every time you settle into praise or worship God, it's going to take you further into your relationship with God. And that's what God wants. That's why so many people don't have a relationship with Him. Not only do they not pray, or they might pray a little bit for selfish things. You know, I need this, Father, I need this, I need this. But they don't pray praise and worship to the Father. You gotta give it your all in every realm of your life. And show God that you love Him. And that you need Him all the time. Now, let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. And this is kind of a verse that we probably just skip over and don't pay any attention to it because we don't understand it. But it says, by Him, talking about the Father, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Continually. How do you do that? Well, you can do it in your spirit. You don't necessarily have to be praising out loud all the time, but you can do it in your spirit. But any time is a good time to praise God. And anyway, he says, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. The fruit of our lips. It's a sad thing to say that most of us don't produce good fruit with our lips. Trying to contend with the world every day, it's not good fruit that you spew out, that you produce. But we're going to find something here that's going to change that in our lives. Now, this is an interesting concept of praise that it's new to me because God just showed it to me. This sounds like when we come to praise and we don't feel like it, then we don't need to praise anyway. But that's not what the Father's saying here. Jesus said, don't be deceived. And we can deceive ourselves, especially in this realm. And the truth of this verse is in the term sacrifice. When we use this term sacrifice, we use it as to whether we feel like praising or not. It's going to cost me something. And this is not the Hebrew understanding of this word sacrifice that's in this verse. The Jews had many faults, but I'll tell you, they never complained about praising God. And neither should we. We should always be in an attitude of praise when it comes to our Father. So let's look over in Isaiah 57:19 to fully understand this. Isaiah 57:19. God is telling Isaiah, I create the fruit of the lips. I create the fruit of the lips. The Father is talking about concerning praise and worship, not the world. But he produces it. And this brings a whole new understanding to Hebrews 13. If we're to offer the sacrifice, and the sacrifice is the fruit of our lips, and if God creates it, it shouldn't take a great effort on our part to praise God. How many of you have ever walked into this church and sat down and even silently prayed to God, Lord, put some praise in my heart today that I can honor you? Or give me the words of praise today so I can bring glory to you. Very few of us pray that way. But I guarantee you, if you do it, you'll get so caught up in praise and worship, you won't even believe it, that you were capable of doing it. But God wants to put it in us so that it can come back out to him. Don't you think that's kind of normal? God says, I'll supply all of your needs. If you're not up on praise and worship, you don't know how to do it, well, just tell me and I'll put it in you so you can bring it back out. And that's awesome when you stop and think about it. When we come into the house of God, we can say, Lord, create that praise in me. Create it in me. And then you can begin to notice these. They'll either be words or they'll be phrases of words. And they'll start coming from down deep inside of you while you're praising. And before you know it, I mean, you're just flowing in praise and worship with God. And so now, this season that we're living in is the right time to begin to cultivate and harvest great praise and worship for God. Amen? We've got so much available to us right now, but we have to get in there and use it the way the Father wants us to use it. Now, you know, here we get caught in a lot of people who don't haven't ever stepped into the spiritual gifts. But the same concept is there when we sing in tongues. Now, we don't do much of that in this church because not too many of you do it. Only a couple, maybe two or three. But when we learn how to do that, and the way we learn is by trusting God. And I'm not going to get into that this morning because it takes a while to teach it. But speaking in tongues does not come through the mind, and neither does singing in the spirit. So what do? We come into his presence, open our spirit to him, just like I told you to do, and then let your mouth automatically begin to praise. Just let it begin to roll out of your mouth. And that sounds complicated, but it's not. What keeps us from doing it is our pride. You know, we're so afraid that somebody else is going to hear us. Well, who cares? As long as God is hearing us, what difference does it make? Amen? Same thing as speaking in tongues. You know, who cares what anybody else thinks? I mean, this is in a relationship that I have with God. And he loves it and he honors it. And so I'm not going to worry about what anybody else thinks about it. Amen? And so if you learn how to do this, let the Spirit of God begin to move this through you, then you're going to find yourself praising God, and you're not going to understand unless God gives you an interpretation. But most of the time, you're not going to understand what you're praising because it's spirit to spirit. But it's bringing glory to the Father. And so, again, what difference does it make? As long as it's pleasing to him. And it's through the ministry of praise that you can come to know him in ways that you've never known him before. Now, pray about this. Ask God. Talk to God about these things. And God will begin to teach you by the Spirit to be able to see this. Now, another deception is this. I can praise God in my own way. And I've heard that all my life in the ministry, talking to people. I can praise God my own way. And that's not what the verse says that we just read a while ago out of Revelation 19. It says a voice of a great multitude. Does that sound like I could do praise on my own way? No. God wants you to be part of praise in church. Not just sitting there with your hands folded and, you know, I'm not going to do this. Break loose. Break it open. Let the praise come out and then be in union or unity with everybody else in that room. Let me tell you, God respects unity. When we as a church come together in unity in anything, God's going to honor that. And we must learn how to be in unity. Now, praise is the prelude, what I call the prelude to worship. And it's the worship that brings the glory, but the praise is what gets you entered through the door, so to speak, to where God is, where his presence abides. And when we get into the glory realm, then we're going to see wonderful things that God wants to show us. He wants us to discover these things, but it's going to come through our praise and our worship. And one of the most important ingredients for having the glory revealed is unity. Unity. Being in one accord. And we've used that passage out of Acts, you know, about the group in the upper room being in one accord. And I think, you know, in our mind, we just kind of pass that by and say, well, that was them. And you know, the Spirit of God was going to be poured out anyway, and they just happened to be a group in an upper room together. No, it was on purpose. God did it on purpose because he wanted you and I to see 2,000 years later how important it is that we work together instead of in conflict with one another, especially in the realm of praise and worship. So, the glory doesn't come until we are one in the Spirit. One in the Spirit. And when oneness of the Spirit comes, then we're going to see a powerful unity take place in this church. Now, I would give an example. Most of you all have never been to some of these conferences. But the praise and the worship in these conferences gets really powerful. And the reason that it gets powerful is because probably, I'm going to just say 90%, that's probably still less than what it is, but 90% of the people that go to those things, they go wanting to praise and worship. They want to get in there and praise and worship with a group of people who want to praise and worship. And God does some awesome things in those meetings, and it's all because of unity. We're doing things together in our heart, one accord, and God honors that. Now, if at any given time in the service everyone is focused on the Lord, then that's when we find unity. And just like this morning, we kind of got off maybe the first few words we spoke, and I was sitting over here wondering, are we going to make it today? But it did. It just all of a sudden took off, you know. And that's what happens when unity comes. And I think we had enough people to get it up and get it going this morning. And then it was fantastic. It was awesome this morning. And all because that we're in unity with God in one purpose. Amen? All right. Now, we used to sing a song that I think describes what I'm talking about here. The song went like this: just forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Him. Amen. Just forget about yourself. Forget about what anybody else is going to think or say. Just get in there into Him and worship Him. When we concentrate on Him, then we are not focused on calling attention to ourselves. You understand that? When we are truly focused, when we're not focused on calling attention to ourselves, then we're going to move deeper into His presence. And many individuals in history past have found the glory through individual praise and worship, and that's great. You go back in history and you find examples of it. But now God is drawing whole congregations into praise, into worship, drawing people like you and me into this deeper relationship with Him. And it all comes through the worship that we offer. So I don't think it's that great in our church that we learn, you know, I'd like to see everybody learn how to flow in unity, but we have a pretty good percentage of people who already are wanting to be in unity. And like I say, our hearts are the same, and we want to do this for God, not for ourselves. So anyway, God is still teaching us to do it, though. That's what's important, and we need to understand that. God's not through with us yet. We're still a work in progress. And so let's keep pressing forward and see what God's going to do. Now, in Psalm 107, verses 31 and 32, it says that, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. And let them exalt Him also in the congregation of the people, and praise Him in the assembly of the elders. Now, as a pastor, I have a desire for this church. And my desire is the same desire that God has. And now, I'm really hoping that everyone will join me in the desire for this church. My desire for this church is to see the glory of God come. I mean to have a physical manifestation of God's glory. And it will come. But again, we have to be in unity of heart, unity of purpose to see it come. So if we will accept it, then God is going to help us know how to praise Him. He's going to teach us how to move deeper into worship, how to adore Him, until the glory is revealed. And so we need to accept that fact and keep pressing in together in unity. Now, one last thought, and then I'm going to close. But in the worship realm, we are more conscious of the quality of God's love. I get to the point where I can't sing anymore. My heart is just so full of His love, you know. And you get in there, and it's just, you don't want to come back out. And hopefully one of these days we'll get to the place where we'll get in there and just stay there for hours. Wouldn't that be great? I didn't hear a hearty amen on that one. But I tell you what, if you haven't been there, then you need to go there. And if you have been there, then you ought to be excited about getting there again. Amen? Okay. The glory realm is the realm of eternity. And that's why in the book of Revelation, we hear verses like the angels cry, "Holy, holy, holy." I mean, they're not here on this earth tied down trying to figure out how to praise God. They're free. Nothing hinders them. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3, it says, "And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with His glory." Amen. That's where God has taken us. And I'm ready to go. Amen. And I hope you're ready. So, after all of this, I mean, you know, really, if you've been in praise and worship a while, this is just kind of an encouraging thing to keep moving forward, because it gets better. But if you've been in a struggle about praise and worship, I mentioned some of them there at the first of the message, but try to get beyond that, and you know, don't let that hold you back. All of us need to be changed, and the only way God can change us is from the inside out. Yeah, change the heart. And so we need to make that available to Him. "Not my will, Lord, but yours be done." Amen. So let's pray. Father, I thank You for the people that You have assembled here in this church. And Father, that we are determined that we're going to grow in praise and worship. And Father, that's not the only thing that You have us in unity about. There's a harvest out here that we need to be busy bringing in. And there's so many things, Father, that You want us to reach out and do as we touch people's lives. You've outlined them in Your word. And so, Father, it's important that we not just pick one to excel in, but that we choose all of them. And trusting You, Father, to teach us in every one of them to be who You've set us apart to be in this hour. So, Father, we're gonna commit that to You this morning, that part of our lives, Lord, that needs to change, that part that needs to step out and step forward and say, I'm willing. I'm willing to learn, and Holy Spirit, come and teach me. And you'll be surprised at 2 or 3 months from now just how far we can advance, Lord. Each one of us will be surprised. So, Lord, we welcome Your Holy Spirit to work in each one of our lives. And we thank You, Father, for what You're going to do. And we declare this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. We'll give the